May God's grace, mercy, and peace be among each one of us here today. For a reading this morning, I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, and I'll be reading Matthew chapter 24. It is a long chapter. The Bible reading for this morning is actually split into two, but I decided I'd take on the whole thing instead. So that'll be Matthew chapter 24, and I'll start in verse 1. So when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the sun shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. So as we get into this Advent season, it's the time when we kind of remember that, you know, Jesus is coming for a second time. It's a time that we look into those parts of the Bible that talks of his second coming and just call them back to the forefront. With this whole chapter here is kind of giving some of the prophecies of these end times, but it also is giving some of the destruction of the temple. And that's what, when reading this, it's sometimes a little bit hard to figure out which one is the temple and which one is for the end times, but I will do my best to go through this as God has revealed. And so we start off this text with Jesus and his disciples wanted to show him the temple. Disciples came for him to show him the buildings of the temple. You know, these are the grand temples that were built in Jerusalem. And they're kind of showing him off, like, you know, look at all these things. And Jesus' response was, you see all these things? Verily, there'll not be left one stone upon another. They should all be thrown down. And this, of course, you know, troubled them, because the temple was the center of worship for the Jews. This was where they did all their worship services. This is where they did the sacrifices and all these things. And so to hear that this is going to be torn down, that troubled them. So when they get to, later on, they're in the Mount of Olives, away from all the people. This is in a private discussion with Jesus, and they ask him, Tell us, when shall these things be? When is this temple going to be destroyed? Then they continue, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So these are the three questions that Jesus is answering in this text. When will the temple be destroyed? When will you be? What are the signs that you are returning to us? And what is the signs of the end of the world? And so he goes on, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I'm sure after his death, there's probably a lot of people who came in saying that, you know. I am the Christ. I am the Christ. I am the resurrected Christ. Don't listen to them. This is what he's telling his disciples. Don't be fooled by this. People are going to be coming in my name. And even today, we still get that. People claiming to be the Messiah. People claiming all these different things. That's kind of how we ended up with Islam and with even like Mormonism, right? These people come and they say, not to say that they're the Christ, but to say, I have a revelation from God that says other things than the Bible, right? That contradict the Bible. It's all these false prophets that come out and deceive many. And they have deceived many people in today's world and throughout all the generations. But we know the Bible is true. This is the unerring word of God, and we can trust in it. And this is how we will know the false prophets, because the Bible is true. And if they contradict it, they are wrong. Because God never lies. He is faithful in all of his promises. And so, it says, Christ, many shall come saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And so these are, sounds like to us, you know, troubling times, right? You're hearing of wars, rumors of wars. Everybody's in conflict. There is no peace to be found. But that is one of the messages of the Bible, is that peace, right? We have that spirit of peace. And that's where he even says here, be ye not troubled. Even when all these things are going on, this conflict everywhere, he says, be not troubled. Right? We know who is God. We know who is over all things. And it is Christ and God who is on our side. So why should we be troubled? In another place in the Bible says, you know, don't fear those who can kill you, but fear him who can kill you and send your soul into hell. Right? We're told, don't fear those around us. Don't fear the devil and his minions and his demons and whatever else, right? Don't fear them. We fear God because he alone has the power to kill and to send into hell. It's him alone who has total control over everything. And so it continues, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This reminded me of, it's in John chapter 15, where he talks about they hate Jesus, right? If we are following Jesus, they're going to hate us too. I can actually read a couple of those verses. That will be John 15, then it's kind of verses 17 through 20. It's John 15, 17 through 20. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And so with this, we're told, don't be surprised when the world hates us. Don't be surprised when we are persecuted. They persecuted Christ and put him to death. We're not greater than him. Do we deserve more than he deserved? No. This, his cup, right? That is what we are commanded. We're to follow after Christ, no matter what the cost. Because he is greater than us. He is God. And we follow after him. He made us. He came to die for our sins. He loves us. And they hated him because of it. They hated him because he pointed out that they were sinful. Right? It said, they have no cloak for sin anymore. He is that light that revealed the darkness in their lives. And they hated him for it. It also kind of reminds me of in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, it says, Blessed are you if they persecute you for my name's sake. Right? We are called that even in these hard times, we are blessed. We will be blessed from God when we struggle and go through trials for his name's sake. When we are persecuted for his name's sake, he will bless us. Now, that's not to say that it's going to be easy, right? None of us want to be persecuted, want to go through these hard things. But it's going to happen. That's what the Bible says. And like we said earlier, the Bible is true. Right? The Bible does not lie. And when it's telling you you're going to go through hard things, you will. But it says, blessed are you if you are persecuted for his name's sake. And so that is true as well. You will be blessed if you are persecuted for his name's sake. So continues, they shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so again, it talks about the false prophets. And it's mentioned a few times in this text, the false prophets are those who are claiming to be Christ. And it says, do not be deceived. It continually warns us, do not be deceived. And we can see it's a very, if you want to say apt warning, like many people have been deceived by them. Again, you have the Jehovah's Witness, you have the Mormons, you have the Islam. All these are based, they claim to follow the Bible, But they all have their own versions of the Bible that they follow. They have their own understandings that aren't based in the Bible. And these things are important things. And they are deceiving many away from God. And so with this, we need to be careful that we're not deceived. We need to learn to fully trust in God. Fully trust His Word. That is our only hope in this life. And then it goes on, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When sin is so openly open in this life, right, you can't trust anybody. You can't look out for each other, because they're going to just turn around and use you, right? There is no trust in society when iniquity is abounding. Society falls apart when sin is not punished. When sin is openly practiced, there can't be a society, because you can't trust your neighbor. You don't know what your neighbor is going to do. Will they help you? Who knows? Will they turn on you and rob you or spitefully use you? We don't know, because they aren't basing their life on Christ. They're living in sin, and so what rules are too far for them? It's whatever they feel like is right at the time. That's all they do. And you can't trust that, because the humans, we're fickle creatures. We like to change what we want, depending on the day. Some days I want to be nice. Some days maybe I want to be mean. Some days I'm spiteful. You said a mean thing about me. Well, I'm going to go around and do something to you, right? You can't trust humans. But we can trust God. He will always be there. And He's laid out these rules for us that this is how you should live. And so when society follows these rules, it is a good society to live in. That's why the West became so great, because we followed the rules of God. And that's where you can. It's a loving society when you follow these rules. Because, as I've mentioned in previous sermons, what did God command us? The two great commandments. You love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is how we should live in society. Following those two things, and that will be a good society. But that's not what it's told is going to be in the end times. Because we know in the end times, people will be turning from God. And so iniquity will abound. And the love of many will wax cold. But it goes on, he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So when we get through all this, you stay faithful to God, you will be saved. Right? As I mentioned earlier, there's only one person who can cast you into hell. And that is God. And so if you're faithful to Him, He will be faithful to you, and He will save you. When you put your trust in Him and believe on Him and the promises He's given us, He is faithful to you. So then, goes on, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them which are with child, and to them which give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So this is one of those areas where I was talking about in the beginning, where is this talking about the fall of Jerusalem, where the temple was destroyed? Because when you read into that, there's many terrible things that happened in those days. They were, from what I've heard, if I remember correctly, they were starved in that city to the point of cannibalism. It was a terrible time to be living in that society. And that's where it says, what reminds me of this is, woe unto them that with child and to them that give suck in those days. Because it was just such a bad time to be alive in that city. And where it says, you should flee. Flee from this place. Don't even look back to get clothes. You turn away and go. Again, this reminds me of that, but it can also be applied to the end times, right? When these end times come, you don't give cares for the things of this world, right? You want to make sure that your faith is placed in God, right? You don't care about your clothes in the house. You trust in God. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to follow God. But I'm just going to continue because, again, that one, I struggle with that one. I'm not sure exactly how to interpret that. Well, I guess I can cover this end here, though. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Again, God does care for us, right? We will go through hard times. We will go through tribulations. But he's not going to put it to the point that we will fall away from him, right? He still cares for us, that he's going to shorten those days so that we do not fall away from him. He won't put us past what we can handle with his help, right? He may put us past what we can handle by ourselves, and probably often will do that in your life, because he wants you to trust on him. And if you're trusting in him, he won't put you past or put you into anything you can't handle with his help, and by trusting in him. And so it goes on, that if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So again, it's talking about all these false prophets and Christ. They will abound in the end times, to the point that they may even, like said, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Again, though, it's saying it is not possible because God is over all. Right? When you put your faith in God, he is over all, and you will not be deceived away from him. You can still make mistakes. You're human. We're all human. I make mistakes. But it won't be a matter of salvation because God is faithful. And when you put your life in his hands, your soul in his hands, he will be faithful to take care of you. So continues, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they go, they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For the lightning that cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever or wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles be gathered together. So it's saying, when he comes, you don't have to wonder where Christ is. Is he over there? Is he over there? You don't have to wonder, because when he comes, everybody will know. We will all know when Christ comes. Continues, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and there shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. At this point, I would like to turn to Revelations, chapter 19, 11 through 21. In there, it talks about this, when the Son of Man is coming. And I'd like to just, call into remembrance that this is Christ, the Christ that we serve. So again, it's Revelation 19, 11 through 21. And I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with them the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. The sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So again, this is a picture of these last times, right? We're going to be going through all these tribulations, all these hard things, but we can keep our eye on this. This is the end result. At the end of the end times, Christ comes, and he conquers all, right? And he is on our side, or I should say, we are on his side. We believe in him. This is who we put our faith in. And in the end times, he will come and he will defeat all the devils, all the demons. He will defeat all the kings and all the nations of earth. That is the Christ that we serve. Right now, we live in the time of grace and of mercy, where we have time to turn to him. And we can talk to others and bring others to him, saying there is forgiveness, there is this love that you can find. But at the end of these times, in the end times, that period of grace is removed. And then comes judgment. We will be going through some hard times before that, right? We are promised these tribulations will come. But we, in these times, we remember who we serve. And as much as I find it, even in myself, like, it is fearful sometimes reading these things. These are hard times that are talked about in the Bible. But God didn't give us these prophecies to instill fear in us, right? He's not a God of fear. He's a God of peace and of love. He gives us these prophecies so that we, when things do get hard, we can understand. This was foretold. This God knows what's happening. He knows what's going on here. He has not abandoned us. But he is giving us this time of grace that we can preach his message to all and turn them back to Christ. So when things get hard, we can trust. He's still in control. He told us this was going to happen. He knows what's going on. So just trust in him, and he will follow through. He is faithful. So it continues, now learn a parable, in 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then it continues, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Again, I find this interesting that it contrasting this with the other prophecies, where it says, it will be like the days of Noah. Now we know in the days of Noah there was great wickedness, right? Wickedness abounded everywhere, and that's why the flood came. But people are just going about their daily life, right? We hear all these terrible prophecies of the end times, but people in the end times will still just be going about their normal life. They'll still be marrying and giving in marriage. They'll still be having their parties. They'll still be making merry, working their jobs, everything. It will still be normal life. And people will be like, the Lord's not coming anytime soon. That's covered a little bit later in this text, but they doubt whether God even exists, because life just goes on. And it has for millennia, and it will continue to go on. But then Christ comes, and it says, no man knoweth the date, nor the hour, but God alone in heaven. And so we on earth just need to be prepared, right? Like in future parables in this next chapter, I believe it talks about, you know, being prepared for when Christ comes. You make ready now. You don't wait, because he will come as a thief in the night. And no man, nobody knows when, and nobody will be expecting it. A lot of you hear these other false prophets saying, you know, Christ is coming on, I think there's one this year in like July. July 28th, Christ is coming. And it's like, no, nobody knows. The Bible tells us no man knows. And so I don't even think it's fruitful to be thinking about it. You should be living how Christ told you to live and continuing in faith that when that day comes, he will take you up into heaven. And that either when you die, you'll go to heaven, or when Christ comes, you'll go to heaven. Both sound good to me, so. But it says, you know, there'll be two working in the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. And so it sounds like when they come, nobody will know. You will be going about your daily life. You will just be going to work as a normal day. And then the Christians will be called to heaven with Christ. And the other will be left in for judgment. And so continues, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So again, pushing this point, we don't know when Christ comes. There are people who will say, I'll, you know, convert when I'm on my deathbed. I want to live this life to the fullest, though, until then. Or, I'll wait until, you know, when I'm ready. We don't know when that time is coming, though. It could be your life is due tonight. Any one of us could die at any moment. There is no safety in waiting. All you have is now. All you have is today to turn your life to Christ and to follow after him. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. And again, you're not guaranteed tomorrow whether it's death or Christ comes. Either way, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, and so today you follow Christ. Today you follow his commandments and trust in him. So, this last part of it, blessed is that... Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, this faithful servant. Christ is gone now. He's not on this earth. But we are not promised that he's not going to come back tomorrow. So we need to be that faithful servant who is doing his will now. We don't push it off till tomorrow. We don't say, I'll follow Christ tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. All we have is today. And so you follow Christ today. I'd like to close this with just another text, Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. And this, again, is just kind of giving us an example of how we should be living this life here while we wait for Christ to return. So again, that's Romans 14, verses 8, or 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is, it is high, time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. So this is, as it's saying here, the time is now. We don't know if we have tomorrow. The time is short. And so what are we to do? We are to live how Christ has commanded. We are to follow his commandments. Put on the armor of light. Walk in honesty as in day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Right? These are the ways of the world. That's how the people of the world walk. That's not how we are commanded to walk. We're commanded to walk in the light and in honesty, following after Jesus Christ, and not making provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Right? We're commanded to put the flesh to death. That is what we're commanded to do. Follow after Christ. Follow his commandments, which is to love. Again, a lot of times with these end prophecies, as I said earlier, it can fill us with a little bit of that fear, right? Oh, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to have to deal with that. You know, this persecution. Nobody wants to be persecuted. Nobody wants to be put to death. Nobody wants to go through hard times. But again, the Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted for his name's sake. We need to trust in God, right? He's not a God of fear. We shouldn't have the spirit of fear when we read these things. It is a somber thing. We understand hard times are coming. Whether it's end times or not, hard times come. And in today's day, there is a fight going on for this world, for this country, for all around us. There is this fight going on for the soul of the country. And so whether it's end times or not, this is a fight that we are involved in. But we shouldn't fear. Right? We are not commanded to fear. God is not a God of fear. We know he is above all. And he is a God of peace and of love. And so that's how we should be. Right? We should have that peace that even if everything goes bad, right? Everything goes wrong tomorrow, we still have God. And he is over all. So trust in him. Put your faith in him that he will provide. And that is all we can do. Because we're not God. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what's best. He alone knows. And with that, I'd like to close with the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.